Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Thank you again for joining us on the program again this week. I trust you're setting your DVR and you're tuning in every week. And like I said, if you've missed a program, you can go back to YouTube and you can kind of listen in again to some of the things or watch them on YouTube, because we've archived everything we've done to date on this series we're doing on the book of Revelation and eschatology. I have on the set with me again this week, and we'll have for several weeks, John Noe, who is an author of several books. Now, let me just talk about John for a moment, because I've read of some of his material over the years. Then I had the opportunity to meet him. He lives in Indianapolis, and I just felt like it was time for him to come on and say some things. There's some things that he says that are closer to what I believe than probably anybody else out there, and just is such a scholar in some of these areas, and a recognized by many as an authority in a lot of these issues. He is the president of Prophecy Reformation Institute. He's a conservative evangelical scholar and a member of the Evangelical Theological Society, where John has presented, watch this, 17 theological papers on eschatological reformation issues. He holds an earned PhD in theology from Trinity Theological Seminary and the University of Liverpool with distinctions. He's the author of several trade published books that you can get on Amazon.com. I encourage you to go to Amazon and get his books. You'll see also his website, and you'll see his email come up on the screen, and you can go and get his books. He wrote one called Unraveling the End. That's the one we're talking about here. It's a balanced scholarly synthesis of our competing and conflicting end time views. He looks at some of the differing views and brings the best of each and begins to bring a synthesis, so that what he does in this particular book is he doesn't deny that other camps doesn't have some truth. What he does is he grabs the truth from each one and begins to merge them together. I love that concept, because we can learn from one another. He also wrote one called The Greater Jesus. He's got one called The Perfect Ending to the World. He's got one called Off Target. He's got one called Peak Performance for Principles of High Achievers. John is a screenwriter. He's an award-winning entrepreneur and a past 20-year member of the National Speakers Association. He's been featured on numerous television programs and radio programs, including CNN's Larry King Live and CBN's 700 Club. He's climbed mountains around the world and lives in Indianapolis with his wife, Cindy, who was a former state representative and quite a classy lady. I met her in Indianapolis. But it's good to have you on the program again, John, and it's great to have you. We were talking in the last segment. We set the stage dealing with this last days or end time fiasco, and we talked about the problems with that, and then we began to talk about how a lot of the people who would be more liberal have discredited the scripture. Not always liberals, though, but it was a lot of people have tried to, because what they see in the scriptures didn't fit with their paradigm, they've discredited the writers of the New Testament, like Paul and Peter and John, who believed they were living in the last days, and even Jesus, who over and over again tells them, this generation will not pass away until everything I just told you comes to pass. And they discredit the scriptures and the validity of the Word of God, because they say what Jesus said and what these apostles said did not come to pass. Now, in my view and your view, it did come to pass, but because it doesn't fit their paradigm, they want to kind of discredit the scripture. But I believe it does more justice to the Word of God than anything else. Because one of the things about the Bible and one of the things about our God and our religion, other than anything else, is that our prophets spoke of things that were to come to pass, and that God would speak them through prophets and they would come to pass. There's no other book like that where they would prophesy things that would come to pass with such detail and such time and preciseness and all of those things precisely, exactly like God said they were. And we're going to get into some of that, because the preciseness of, you know, of these things was exact, just like Jesus said it would happen, and just like the prophets said it would happen. And when Habakkuk prophesied, he prophesied he didn't talk about the end of time. He talked about the appointed time of the end. And that's very, very important, because it's not the end of time. Matter of fact, talks about the ages to come. God would make known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. People would quote something like Revelation 10, where it said time no longer, but that actually is translated, there would be no more intervention of time, that there should be any more waiting or delay. No more delay theory again.
There you go.
And we talked about delay theory on the last program and how we've created gaps, gimmicks, and all kinds of theories.
It's an addition.
That are not biblical. And I'm going to let you take it from there. Well, good to have you on the program.
Great to be back in the mountains again.
Yeah.
We serve a God who is a God of order and design in everything he does. I mean, everything. From the very beginning, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, he had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He had a purpose. He had a time frame,
mm-hmm.
7 days,
mm-hmm.
actually six.
Mm-hmm.
He rested on the seventh,
mm-hmm.
and he completed this with mathematical precision. So, here in West Virginia, when you go up into the mountains on a star-studded night and you look up into the sky and you see all these white dots up
mm-hmm.
there. It's kind of twinkling, and it seems like they're just floating around up there, and you could probably see the Milky Way
mm-hmm.
here because you don't have as much light contamination or pollution and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can in Indianapolis, sometimes we
mm-hmm.
can't. Well, they're not just floating around up there in space. They are flying through space at astronomical speeds and with mathematical precision, so much so that people all around the world set their clocks by that
mm-hmm.
dependability.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so, dependability, that's why space flight is possible.
Mm-hmm.
That we've been able to figure out the mathematical precision that God placed all those there and spinning them through space.
Mm-hmm.
And when we invented launched the Hubble telescope, I think it was 1990s, if I remember right, I mean, we've explored even further away into other galaxies and are just amazed with what we're finding
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mathematically ingenious.
It's so perfect.
And the more we know, the more we know we don't know.
Yeah.
So it's fabulous. And so if we take our gaze from up and out and turn it down and in and start looking into a electron microscope, which was invented back in the 1930s, I believe, and we look into the cell, and by the way, Darwin never had that advantage. He
mm-hmm.
had no idea. Nobody at that time,
mm-hmm.
Darwin, knew what was in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Beebe wrote the book, Darwin's Black Box, the
mm-hmm.
cell. But we can not only look into the cell now, we can look into subatomic particles. And guess what, Lynn? They are spinning through space as well
mm-hmm.
at astronomical speeds inside everything that exists, inside this table. Right here. This table is not solid.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this table is more vastness of space in this table than there is solid factors
mm-hmm.
because they're spinning. In your body, it's spinning and mathematical precision in this book, in this coffee cup, in the pages of this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematical precision. Well, our God of order and design, plan, purpose, time frame, and mathematical precision in the creation of the physical material universe, world, and everything that exists is also the same God of order and design, plan, purpose, time frames, and mathematical precision of fulfillment in the covenantal creation or in the plan of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just absolutely amazing to see this. And let me fast forward here. So, everything that he created physically and covenantally with this plan, purpose, and precision has been fulfilled
mm-hmm.
exactly as and when he said it would, exactly as and when Jesus said it would, exactly as and when every New Testament writer, guided by the Holy Spirit, John 16:13, into all truth and told what was going to happen, expected it.
Mm-hmm.
to happen. What were they expecting to happen? This brings us to the appointed time of the end.
Mm-hmm.
700 years before Christ, God told his prophet, again, God doesn't do anything without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophet, Amos 3:7. Habakkuk, he told Habakkuk that there was such a thing as an appointed time of the end. When had it been appointed? Probably back when Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. Appointed, determined, set in place, couldn't be revoked. Nobody could mess it up, couldn't be thwarted. Appointed time of the end. And that it, and this is Habakkuk 2:3, that this appointed time of the end would not prove false. The critics, even C.S. Lewis, has said, well, it's proved false. Those who attack the deity of Jesus in the battle on the Bible say, well, this stuff is proved false. And if they weren't right about those kind of things, maybe they weren't right about a lot of other things as well.
You've dropped your microphone, John. Repin that real quick on here.
Sorry. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, bear with us.
All right. Would not prove false. That's where we were, right? And that it would certainly come, and that's what we're proclaiming. It certainly came as and when it was supposed to come, and it would not delay. Again, the church has been preaching delay for 19 centuries and counting. Who should we believe? Inspired prophets or the uninspired church who's preaching delay theory? Well, 100 years later, God reveals to another prophet the specific time frame with which the appointed time of the end would come and with which the Messiah would come. This is the mainstay of messianic authentication. Daniel's two time prophecies. Now, there's four time prophecies in the book of Daniel, but we're talking about the two that are very specific. That is Daniel's 70 weeks of years in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel's time of the end time prophecy in Daniel chapter 12. So with your permission, let's go there.
Let's do it.
All right. Now, you want to explain what we have here?
Well, we have, this is actually a timeline from one of John's books. And again, you can get his books at Amazon.com. But what most people have done is invented, like you said, delay gap theories. And I never thought of it before until I heard you say this about Matthew 24, where it says the wicked servant says, "My Lord delays his coming." But Daniel's prophecy that began, that you're going to begin to share about, has no gaps, no gimmicks. There's nothing in there about a gap. As a matter of fact, it is the appointed time of the end without any delays, like Habakkuk said, because most of our futuristic schemes of interpretation come from a gap theory that stops somewhere in the middle of this prophecy. That stops right in here, I think, with some of them, or is that? And then there's 7 years of tribulation somewhere out in our future.
Right.
And but we're going to show you that the 7 years of great tribulation that the Bible talks about is not out in your future. It has already occurred. And this is John's chart, so I'm going to let him begin to deal with this prophecy in the times and the appointed time of the end. And then if we don't get it all in this segment, we'll come back and do another one. But you don't want to miss this, so I'll let you go ahead.
Well, you're correct. And a word of caution, there are a wide variety of interpretations here. And they're conflicting, and they use manipulative techniques like interrupting the time frame between the 69th and the 70th week is a classic one. Flip-flopping time segments of Daniel's prophecy, elongating things, coming up with a whole bunch of stuff. But what we're going to explain here to our viewers, Lynn, is what I believe is the most straightforward, the clearest, the historically documentable, understanding of how this was fulfilled, and I believe you'll find it very impressive and very defensible. In fact, in my course on hermeneutics in my doctoral program, this was one of the textbooks we used, An Introduction to Biblical Interpretation by Drs. Klein, Bloomberg, and Hubbard. And here's what they had to say. They asked the question, said, well, what do we do when interpreters disagree? And this is a major area of disagreement. I mean, this sets the whole stage for the eschatological fiasco, is failing to understand how this was literally, sequentially, chronologically fulfilled in precise mathematical precision. Now, I know that's redundant, but that's, that makes the point. They said, what do we do when interpreters disagree? How do we proceed when well-intentioned Christians come to different interpretations? Well, about the meaning of a text or a passage. And then they say this. They said, where one view more readily emerges from the historical sense of the text, it must stand. The historically defensible interpretation has the greatest authority. That is, interpreters can have maximum confidence in their understanding of a text when they base that understanding on historically defensible arguments.
Yeah.
Now, many of our viewers may not believe what we're going to lay out here,
mm-hmm.
but what they will have to believe is that this is historically defensible.
Yeah.
No gaps, no gimmicks, no exegetical gymnastics.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about literal, sequential, chronological,
historical,
defensible
fulfillment. Yeah.
A mainstay, again, messianic authentication that most of the church has missed because they deny it.
Yeah.
Sad to say. All right. That's start. If your viewers would like to turn to Daniel, chapter 9. We'll start with verse 24 through 27. And let's just read it here. 77s are decreed or determined for your people. Stop here. Most interpreters understand that to be 490 years. Mm-hmm. I agree with them. I won't get involved in that on this program, but more details on why that's so.
I think most people agree with that.
And this was the time that was determined upon the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's real important to understand that.
Yep.
Of Jewish preeminence.
Yep.
The gospel was to the Jews first.
Yes.
That's real important in understanding how this was fulfilled. So that right off the right out of the blocks, that's what Daniel is saying here. 77s are determined for your people and your holy city for these six purpose clauses: to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was to happen, mm-hmm. the time, and that was the purposes for the time.
Mm-hmm.
None of that happened in the second century B.C. in the Antiochus Epiphanes time, which is what the Jews were told was the fulfillment of that.
Mm-hmm.
None of that
None
happened.
Of it, yeah.
Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One. Now, that's what I'm talking about. When I'm mm-hmm. talking about a mainstay, a messianic authentication.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I believe the kings of the East knew that Jesus' birth was about to happen because they had worked through this time frame and worked it back to when he would have to be born.
Mm-hmm.
Until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s. Now, that's the first segment. That's 70 sevens of years, or 49 years, and 62 sevens.
Mm-hmm. That would be right here, the 49 years from 457 B.C. to 408 B.C.,
right.
And then the 434 years from 408 B.C. to A.D. 27, right?
Right. That would be the first 69 mm-hmm. of the 70 weeks.
Okay.
All right. There would be...
Which would be a total of 483, right?
Be a total of 483.
From here to, from 457 B.C.
Well, hold on to the starting point. We'll get to the starting point in a minute. Would be 483 of the 490 years in the first two say. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After 62-7, so this would be... This is a 62-7, mm-hmm. so this would be here
right
after
here.
483 years. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to argue that this is after that.
Mm-hmm.
But all it says here is after the 483 mm-hmm. years. It doesn't say when
mm-hmm.
yet. After.
Mm-hmm.
And then it mentions some other things that would happen after the 483 years.
Mm-hmm.
The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city
mm-hmm.
and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood, and war will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. So we have the Messiah after the 483. We have the Messiah being cut off. We have the city being destroyed. We have war coming. And the end.
Mm-hmm.
But all it says here is after. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
say when.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Right. Stay tuned. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. This is the last seven, the 70th week.
with one seven, but in the middle of that seven,
after 3.5 years of ministry,
in the middle of that seven, mm-hmm. here we are,
mm-hmm.
He will put an end to sacrifice and offering. How did Jesus put an end to sacrifice and offering?
He became the ultimate sacrifice.
There you go. Once for all, right?
Yep.
Is there any more sacrifice to be offered after
once for all? No.
Well, why would we want to rebuild the temple and start sacrificing animals again?
It would be almost, to me, an abomination. When the prophet said that, it would be like offering swine's blood on an altar or a dog or something like that. If you go back to the blood of bulls and goats, it's walking back over the blood of Jesus and saying that the blood of the covenant is an unholy thing. So,
And the one who causes desolation will place abominations, notice the plural, on the wing of the temple until the end that is decreed or determined is poured out on him. Now, there's a lot we can talk about in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of details here, which we don't have time in this mm-hmm. program. So I just want to hit on a few highlights here.
I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead. We'll keep on rolling the cameras until we get this laid out. And we'll just, for those of you who are watching, if we don't finish in this segment, we're going to cut it, and you'll see it again next week. So just stay tuned, and we're just going to keep on talking in this segment because I want you to be able to get this timeline without having a break here. So let's just do that.
What we want to emphasize, once again, is we want to show how all this was fulfilled, Lynn,
mm-hmm.
In a firm, unbroken sequence of chronological time.
Right.
No gaps, no gimmicks, no delays, no interruptions. We want to talk start to finish, mathematical precision. Again, mm-hmm. this is the God who put this in place, who has a plan, has a purpose, has a time frame. This is a time frame.
Yep.
And fulfills what he does with mathematical precision.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Divine perfection here. Okay. The starting point would be a decree. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, Daniel 9:25. There are three decrees by Gentile kings that affected the rebuilding and restoration of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. The first one was in 538 B.C., mm-hmm. the decree of Cyrus. The second one in 520 B.C., the decree of Darius. And the third one in 457 B.C., the decree of Artaxerxes. I believe, for reasons I've documented here, that this is the one. This is the latest one, by the way.
And he's the one that gave the decree to restore and build Jerusalem.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Not just the temple,
right.
but Jerusalem through right. letter of passages.
And he did that in 457 B.C.
457 B.C.
And yeah. I believe it is Ezra chapter 7 documents that. I believe it is.
Yes, 7, 11 through 26. Okay. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. I believe that's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last one. It decrees everything, not mm-hmm. just the temple, but the whole, all Jerusalem mm-hmm. and so forth. All right. Fast forward. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble, so we come to the first 7 weeks here. Mm-hmm. That's when that took place. And then we go into the next segment, the 62 sevens.
Now, wasn't that Jerusalem was restored and rebuilt 408 B.C.? Was that with Nehemiah and those guys during troublesome times?
It actually started in 520
okay.
with Zechariah and Zerubbabel, mm-hmm. and then was finished up in about that time.
But during a troublous time, that's when
exactly. Okay, then we go into the 62 sevens here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this takes us up to the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
This is until the anointed one would come.
AD 27.
And if you do the math, and keep in mind we're going from BC to AD mm-hmm. here, so and there's no 0 year.
Right.
But if you do the math, that is 483 years, folks.
Yep. Daniel prophesied.
To the anointed one
who would come.
And what happened in 427? Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River and anointed.
The dove lands on him when he comes up out of the River Jordan.
Well, we don't know if it's dove or it was the Holy Spirit, like a dove. But anointed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other event in Jesus' life, but either previous or subsequent,
mm-hmm.
that could be
equivalent
termed.
Yeah.
An anointed. I mean, that was the anointed. Yeah. I mean, that was the beginning of his public ministry.
Yeah.
Again, this is the timeline of a major mainstay messianic.
Yeah.
Now
think about the preciseness of that. I want people to listen to now God spoke this way ahead of time. That he and gave Daniel understanding concerning this, from the going forth of this commandment until a Messiah would come on the scene would be 483 years, and exactly and precisely, without any gaps, any gimmicks, any stop things, any theological
gymnastics.
It came exactly like he said. And Jesus comes up out of the River Jordan and the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. I've always said this too as well, John, because I believe theology is covenantal. In other words, something's about to change here in the river. I have a whole series I did The Government of Affirmation, where I talk about John the Baptist is in the River Jordan with Jesus, and he's the son of Zechariah, and he's a Levitical priest. And what he's doing in that river is he's not baptizing Jesus for the remission of his sins, mm-hmm. because Jesus doesn't have any sin. But I believe one of the things, there's a lot of stuff going on here, but I believe one of the things that's going on in this river was that Jesus is being baptized because you had to wash every priest. Here's Levi, who is a priest after the order of Levi, and he's baptizing Jesus, who's about to become a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And if there is a change of priesthood, mm-hmm. there must of necessity be a change of law. So what we're talking...
Had to be.
Yeah, what we're talking about here is crossing the Jordan River again, but this time we're not crossing over into a physical promised land. We're crossing over into a spiritual promised land called the New Covenant and called rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because this is the pivotal point where everything's about to be changed. If this stuff's still in our future, we're in real trouble, aren't we? In other words, you know, if he wasn't, I'm doing all the talking here. I'm going to let you jump back in. But really, if he's, you know, that these are some of the most redemptive prophetic words that happened during this 7 years of anything.
Mainstay.
I mean, that's some powerful redemptive stuff that Daniel prophesied would happen. Make an end of sin, bring in everlasting righteousness.
That's how you know who the true God is.
Yes. And if it's still in our future, we're still in our sin.
If it's still in our future, then this stuff didn't work.
It didn't work.
And we have big problems.
Yes, sir. And that's where everybody discredits.
That's right. All right. But there's still more to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Still more to go, because not everything that was determined there happened during this time frame.
Right, right.
Now, we do know in Daniel 26 that the Messiah is cut off in the middle of the 70th week. But there was other things that were determined here besides that, you know, like war and the destruction of the city and the end and all stuff.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically-based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.